You know, it's amazing growing up in this area and going to the mountains when I was younger, and then a little bit later on in life, I spent a lot of time in North Carolina. And most of the mountains in North Carolina are covered with trees. As Deb and I got close, was in Wyoming, and we went through all the rolling hills in Nebraska, and we could see the mountains from afar, and we got closer and closer and closer. And to me, it looked like God was playing with Tonka toys and just heaped up dirt. Because from a distance, those mountains look just like dirt. Until you get close to them, we went through our first valley, and I was driving, and my wife was speechless because of the beauty. I was speechless because of the fear. It's amazing how you see things, isn't it? We're going to talk about a subject that the Lord laid on my heart. And it's not a controversial subject, but sometimes men don't always feel comfortable with it. It's called gentleness. Another term that the Bible uses, and they're kind of interchangeable many times, is the word meekness. What do you think of when you think of the term meekness or gentleness? What comes to your mind in a definition? Okay, shy. Curtis? Weakness. A lot of guys look at it that way, as it being weakness. And actually, if you look into the dictionary under meekness, you're going to find some definitions you really don't like. A lack of courage. Now, there are some complimentary things in there when you look. Don't get me wrong, but still, they included that lack of courage. And sometimes that's how people look at it. Have you ever done a study in the Scriptures to see what the Bible says about humbleness? I heard somebody say something about Jesus. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. We're going to talk about that definition. You know, I can't think of Jesus as being weak. He is. Now, guys, I don't know if you ever caught it. You know, most of the time, Jesus did not show his power. We do see him in the Scriptures when the money changers is a part of God's temple, and they've taken the court of the Gentiles, and they turned that into a place to make money and rip people off for religion, so to speak. He does get upset there. But there's one time that really begins to show his power. I mean, there was the Mount of Transfiguration where he showed his glory. But do you remember in the garden when the soldiers came to arrest him and Jesus spoke and everybody fell on their face? He didn't lift his hand up. He didn't say anything, but just spoke and they all fell down before him. So when you look at Jesus, you'll notice, yes, he was meek and humble, but there were times he showed his anger. How does that go together? Well, we're going to look at all those different things as we look at it. If you got your Bibles, I encourage you to open it up to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we're going to begin reading just a few verses before that in chapter 3, but we're leading up to chapter 4, and we're going to start in 3:14, Ephesians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power that works within him, within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And then as he begins chapter 4, there's the therefore. All right. If you know about Ephesians, you know that Paul has talked about how the gospel breaks down the walls. Of how God not only saved the Jews, but also the Gentiles. And through Christ, we're one. There's a unity there. And then in the last part of chapter 3, he tells us that he's praying for them. The very God that can get inside and encourage us and strengthen us from the inside, the inner man, but also can answer prayer far above that we can even ask or think. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called. All right, what does that mean? You ever notice the way people walk? Most distinctive person I know was John Wayne. It didn't matter what movie he was in, you could see that walk. You can't hardly duplicate that walk. It's so unique. And he had just that walk. Well, all of us have that kind of a interesting thing about us that we walk sometimes and do different things. Is that what he's talking about, the way we walk? No. He's talking about the way you live your life, your walk through life, in other words. He said, this is what you need to have in your life. Your life needs to match your calling. All right, that's good. What's our calling? We're Christians. We're to walk like Christ would have us to walk. Okay? Then he begins to define what that looks like. What are some of the characteristics of that walk? Notice what he says in verse 2. With all humility. I'm already going downhill right there. Okay? Notice the next one. And gentleness. Now, you notice he didn't say this is just for the ladies. Ladies, you're to be gentle. Guys, you're just guys. No. That's not what he said. He said all believers should have humility and gentleness with patience. I didn't hear an amen out there. You notice that? Not one amen did I get out of that one. So we're to be patient. I got to work on that one too. I don't know about you, but that's another one I need to work on. Now, notice this. Remember how we just talked about Christ broke down the walls and all of us are one in the body of Christ. There shouldn't be any separation. There needs to be unity. Now, notice this one. Showing tolerance for one another. That means we got to put up with each other. That just ain't right, is it? And then he talks about how we're to be one in the body of the bond of peace through the Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit, the motivator and the one who brings about those things. All right, for some reason, the Lord just laid the one word on my heart for today. Anyhow, gentleness. All right, define gentleness. What does it mean? Tender-hearted, okay, that can be part of it, yes. What else? Huh? Kind. Patient, yeah, obviously. Huh? Caring. Loving. Okay, loving. Huh? Helping one another, yes. Having. Okay. Okay, I don't know. Okay, that's okay. Let me give you some of the definitions. Mild-spirited, self-controlled, the opposite of vindictive and vengeance, quiet. Oh, that put a lot of us in trouble, wouldn't it? Easy, mild, peaceable, composed, lenient, yielding, unassertive. I like this one. The grace that provides the whole nature, mellowing all of that which would have been harsh. This is a person that doesn't get upset, don't lose their temper. That's hard, isn't it? I always admired that about Jesus. Another word that I didn't see in there, but I feel about Christ, he was approachable. People felt at ease going to speak to Jesus. Now, I got to be honest with you, that does not describe me. I'm loud. Well, none of y'all laugh because I know some of y'all too. Sharp. I know y'all are never sharp, right? You're always kind, never say. Do you retaliate? What if somebody was to attack your name? What would you do? Dot both of his eyes? Oh, okay. You see, guys, we grew up in a society where guys and boys are all rough and tumbly, and they get in fights, and we do all kinds of bad things. Well, what is the old saying about what girls are made out of? And boys are? You see, even that gives us a bad name. Bad smell, too. So the things of the Lord sometimes go completely against even the way that we were raised up, the society that we live in. So how do we make the changes to become gentle? You know, we used to use the term gentleman. You'll be surprised if you look up the term gentle in the dictionary, it'll say someone of a higher class. Proper. Open the door. My best friend is a pastor, by the way. And that rascal's got a bad habit of doing something. He opens the door for his wife every time, everywhere. And you know what happens when you go off with them somewhere? Your wife's going to sit right there. And you're kind of looking around going, what's she doing? She's waiting for me to catch on to that same habit. But there was a time that we saw gentlemen in that light. Okay, it wasn't a bad word. It wasn't weakness. He gives us some negative things. Sometimes people look at meekness and gentleness as being weak, timid, indifference, and cowardice. Do you know that the word was actually used of a wild animal being tamed? Now, I know some of you ladies are thinking, husband, wild animal. Got that part? Got that one. But you got to finish the definition. It's a wild animal that has been tamed. When a wild animal is tamed, say a horse. Let's just say it was a stallion that had been caught and had been tamed and broken to ride. Does that horse lose its strength? Does the horse lose its speed? So what does the horse lose? It is trained to be willing to do what its master tells it to do. That's a picture of gentleness. It doesn't mean you give up your strength. It doesn't mean you give up being a man or a woman or you lose your individuality. It means you learn to bend your will to the Lord. Really, the best definition of gentleness and meekness is strength under control. Think about it for a minute. Remember when Jesus was accosted by the soldiers and he was going to be arrested, and old Peter, you know, some of the Gospels doesn't name Peter, just said a guy with a sword. A fisherman with a sword is dangerous. Okay? He's got the sword. He goes to stop one of the servants, and he cuts off his ear. You think if he did enough laying, he'd learn what was what. But anyhow, he cuts the ear off, and Jesus stopped him. And he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Don't you know that I could have just asked my Father, and he'd have gave me 12 legions of angels?" He said, I don't need your help. It's in control." Jesus allowed himself to be arrested. No one could have arrested you. No one could have put a nail in his hand. You know, we think about all the torture that Jesus went through. Nobody could have accomplished that unless Jesus allowed it. That strength, that's power in control. There's been a few through scriptures that had that same characteristic. David, do you remember when David, God had called him to be king? He was already anointed to be king, but Saul was king. There's a problem there, okay? Well, Saul's very jealous of David, and David was being blessed by God. He was very successful in what he was doing. And so Saul made it his whole way of life was to kill David. We're going to go after David. We're going to kill him. Well, he went after David. David had more than one opportunity to get back at Saul. He snuck into the camp. Everybody's asleep. He's right there. He could have grabbed a sword, a spear. He could have stepped on his neck. He was right there. Chose not to do it. He said, "I'll not touch God's anointed." Strength in control. And that didn't happen just once. That happened more than once. Guys, when you think about meekness and the picture of meekness and gentleness, that's what God wants us to have. And there's different things to look at. And when I thought about it, I was thinking about what does it look like? Well, listen to this. It does at times get angry. What would be justifiable anger? Nope. Anything when it comes to defacing God or God's work. That's when you saw Jesus get upset. Not before. During that time. Now, there's a problem, but there are some things in the Scripture. It says, "Be ye angry and sin not." You've read that one, didn't it? "Be ye angry and sin not." So it is possible to be angry without sinning. That is a hard one because there is a warning right after that. It says, make sure you don't stay angry. James is a little more practical. James says, you know, the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. So most of the time, for you and I, with that old sinful nature that we have, it's very hard for us to truly be angry and not take the next step. But it does not mean emotionless. You know, sometimes people think, well, you're gentle, you never get upset, you never get emotional. No, it is your emotion, it is your whole life under control. You don't necessarily show it. You don't let it pour out. You don't let it go back at somebody. You know, somebody hurts us, we hurt them. Somebody says something sharp, we say it back. I know that you don't do that. That happens in a marriage. You're getting a little argument. One says something cutting, the other one says, well, I'll get you back. We retaliate. It's the very opposite of that. In fact, the only time it does get upset is at God's name or God's work. When it comes to our own self, we wouldn't get upset. All right, there's another one. Do you know that as a gentle person, as a meek person, we are to be peacemakers? There are a couple of times in scriptures that talk about how to correct someone. How did your mom and dad correct you? I love the Lucases. I can see it on their faces. You know what I'm saying? You know, I honestly can't remember my mom and dad saying, "Now, son, you know what you did wrong. And you know mom and daddy loves you. And you know we're going to have to spank you a little bit." I don't remember that calm, gentle voice. I don't. They'd be hollering at me, getting the belt. And you do one of those little dance. You ever had one of those? Not pleasant at all. Yep. Yep. Also talks about what happens if you have another brother, maybe a weaker brother, who slips into sin. How are you supposed to handle them? You idiot! Well, sometimes I've, you know, you think about that anyhow. But that's not the way you do it. The Bible said it is to be done with gentleness to restore such a one, least it might happen to you. It's supposed to be in a spirit of gentleness. It's amazing how many times gentleness is used. In 1 Peter, where it talks about witnessing, where it says, always be ready to give a reason for what you believe. If you read the rest of the verse, it says, make sure you do it in gentleness. I got a really bad habit if I think I'm right. My voice gets louder. And I'm not even paying attention. My wife used to get on to me when I got on to the girls, because it would be getting louder and louder and louder, and I'd just be thinking, well, I'm just speaking normal. What are you talking about? Honey, you're not. You're hollering. No, I'm not. Well, you know, if I get in a theological discussion, the same thing happens, especially if I think I'm right, which is usually all the time. You know, just... And it happens, you get louder and louder and louder. That doesn't solve anything. For you know it, you're hollering at each other. That's not really going to solve the problem. So it is to be handled with gentleness. Now, ladies, did you know there's a specific passage about wives that says God loves a gentle and quiet spirit? Oh, I don't know. You're just right there. You know, it's amazing when I'm doing premarital counseling, there's certain verses that the guys really like. Submission. Wives, submit unto your husbands. They're going, yeah, told you. We get down here where it says he loves a quiet and gentle spirit. They do the same thing. Yes, preach it, brother. They hate the part where it says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. You see, that doesn't register with them, which means you're willing to sacrifice your life to make your wife happy. You know, that's what that means. Christ sacrificed his life for the church. It means husbands have to be willing to sacrifice their life for their wives to meet their needs. Boy, no amens again. Did you notice that? Just wipe down. Guys, what would you think of if you met a Christian that had that gentle, meek spirit? I'm dancing to the jig. When you meet somebody who has that gentle spirit, it's hard to not like them. I actually want to have that in my life. I'm loud. God has blessed me with a preaching voice. And it runs in my family. My wife has a good preaching voice when she gets upset. And so both of my daughters have a double preaching voice when they get upset. That just kind of runs in the family. And really and truly, I don't always realize that my voice is getting louder and rougher and louder and rougher. I want that gentle spirit that the Bible tells me I need to have as a believer, that Jesus had. The invitation Jesus gives, he said, come to me, for I am gentle. It's Somebody's going to say, Brother Terry, mine says meek. Same thing. Okay? Jesus said, I am gentle. You know, I think about Jesus, and you know, I got a busy schedule. How about you? Don't you think Jesus had a busy schedule? He had 3.5 years to accomplish all that he was going to do before he died on the cross. And yet, when people were bringing kids to him to pray for and to bless, the disciples got upset. You remember that? He ain't got time for that. He's busy. He's working. Jesus said, don't hinder them. Let them come unto me. The woman that touched the hem of his garment, she was doing it so nobody would know. She didn't even want Jesus to know. She just snuck in there and got her hand in there when he passed because she believed if I just touched the hem of his garment, I'd be healed. Jesus stops. He said, who touched me? His disciples looked at him like, are you crazy? There's hundreds of people here. What do you mean, who touched you? Jesus knew who had touched him. And he stopped to talk to her. Guys, we need that gentle spirit towards one another. And guys, I do feel like I'm busy sometimes. And I'm in a rat race and I just don't have time. We need to make time and stop. And be that humble person that God's called us to be, that is meek and gentle. Man, it's really hard to fight with somebody that's gentle. You know, when I first got married, my wife wouldn't fight. Have you ever carried on a one-way fight? You feel like an idiot when you get through. She's just sitting there. She's got older, maybe not wiser, but she fights back, okay? But if you're gentle towards... If you're gentle towards one another, it's hard to fight. And don't you think when you start to tell somebody about Jesus, that gentle spirit will show? And if you got that right spirit, when somebody's correcting you and they're doing it gently, you know I love you, brother. Love you with all my heart. But God can't bless what you're doing if you don't get it right. I'll still love you even if you don't. Man, I could listen to a whole lot better than somebody calling me idiot. You know what I mean? That humble spirit that God wants us to have. Now, guys, the invitation's for all of us, too. He says, come unto me, for I am humble. He said, I'll give you rest. Isn't that a wonderful invitation? You know, he still does that today. He's calling on all those who don't know Jesus Christ. You see, most of the world is trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to do enough or be good enough. Guys, I got news for you. You can never be good enough. You can never do enough good things. What Jesus is saying is, I've done it for you. All you have to do is come receive it. And I'll give you rest from all those labors you're trying to do. It's paid in full. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being the God that you are. Lord, there may be someone here this morning that has never trusted you as Lord and Savior. That invitation is just as powerful, just as good as it was back then for everybody today and everybody in the future. You invite them to come. They don't have to struggle anymore. They don't have to try to be good enough or do enough. You're sharing with us that you've done it all. Come to the table and receive it. Oh, what a wonderful invitation. Father, just a moment, we're going to be standing down front. Miss Debbie's going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. There's someone out there doesn't know you, Father, they can just come forward. We'll sit down and show them how they can know you. Father, most of us really need to cultivate that gentleness in our spirit. Now, Father, first of all, we can't do it on our own. The Bible tells us that gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. It is something the Holy Spirit can make a part of our lives. And just before he got into chapter 4, he said that, Father, you're able to do more than we can ever think or ask. That you're on the inside, you can change us from the inside out. Not just the outside in, but the inside out. Father, you can calm our spirits. Just like that wonderful stallion that someone caught that was wild and tamed them, made them usable and workable. They didn't lose their power, they didn't lose their strength, their speed, all that was still there. But they learned to listen to the master. Lord, help me to learn to listen to you and to let you control the anger, all the other things in my life that wouldn't be good if I let out. Lord, help me to have that gentle spirit, and all those who want that gentle spirit, help us to have that in our life. Lord, we love you. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.